Hi, Anna Welly here, and welcome back to week number 8 with our lesson on healthier eating guidelines in Soul Body Bliss. What I want to talk with you about today in the healthier eating guidelines is, number one, the importance of digestion and a good, healthy, strong digestion, and what that looks like and what an unbalanced digestion can look like and how that can affect you in the physical body and the mind and emotions. And then we'll get more into the importance of these healthier eating guidelines, these kind of top tips that we have, and what that looks like in further detail. So there's a saying in Ayurveda that goes beyond that kind of common phrase of "you are what you eat." In Ayurveda, we say "you are what you digest," because it's more important than just what you're eating, but it's how you're actually able, or if you're able, to break it down, assimilate it, and create these healthy tissues, these cells in your body. What you digest or what you don't digest is really one of the major factors in determining the state of your health. We also say in Ayurveda, worship the Agni, and Agni is that digestive fire, because it's one of the, it's at the forefront of what's going to kind of make it or break it in your body, your mind, your emotions for health versus disease. If you digest your food well, you're taking in all the proteins, the energy, the prana, the nutrients, and the essences from the food. You're absorbing it, you're breaking it down, you're assimilating it into healthy, vibrant tissues. And whatever the body can't use or it's done with is efficiently and easily discarded through waste, such as your urine, feces, etc. And it's done so efficiently in that it doesn't take loads of energy. When you digest well, your senses are clear and sharp. You feel light and energized. You have a good memory, ability to concentrate, and feel creative. You wake up in the morning and feel clear, light, and strong. You naturally have a more positive or hopeful demeanor, and you experience the radiance of tejas, the glow of ojas, and the flow of and vitalization of prana moving through your body. These are all the subtle essences that are supported through a balanced digestive system that's operating and functioning properly. When you don't digest your food well, you can create ama. And ama is a filmy plaque. It's like a sticky residue. It can be known as toxins or basically anything undigested in the body. And it can be, ama can be in the physical form from food. It can be thoughts or emotions as well. Anything that's unprocessed and hasn't been fully digested and assimilated. As ama builds up in the body, it essentially is blocking the flow of consciousness. And ama is one of the main factors that can create health issues, a disease, just not feeling good in your body. So if you feel heavy, groggy, cloudy, dull, crabby, or depressed, any of these types of things, even if you don't feel inspired when you wake up in the morning, is most likely due to ama building up in the body. Things like PMS, allergies, all of these things are related to the accumulation of ama in our system. And it happens. It's kind of part of life. But we use these tools of Ayurveda to prevent the ama from happening and then supporting the body in eliminating ama that's there. So even if you choose the most amazing, organic, fresh, gorgeous, superpower, superfood, nutritious foods, if you don't digest it well based off of poor eating habits or digestive issues, you can create ama in the body and the food is going to become detrimental to you. So that's why we say it's not only what you eat, but it's what you digest. You are what you digest. So I want to look at some of the more basic ways we can understand the digestive process, and then we can go into the supportive habits on how we're going to make that happen. So what we understand in Ayurveda is that the digestion takes time. There's a lot of details I won't go into, but it really The digestive process goes through three main phases, and each phase takes a certain amount of time. And you want to give your body time to support the food in moving through each phase before you introduce new food that's going to be in the first phase. So the first phase is chewing and the kapha phase of breaking things down in the stomach. The second phase is the pitta phase, where it moves into the small intestine and things are being assimilated and absorbed into the blood and the lymph. And then the third phase is the phase of vata, which is where it moves through the colon and then it's excreted as waste. And each phase takes around 2 hours, just kind of depending. So that being said, then it takes a while for the food to move from the stomach into the small intestine. And so when you eat a meal, so if you have your nice lunch and you enjoy your lunch and the food is, it's like a healthy, great, wonderful salad with whatever, some salmon and this and that, and you feel really satisfied. And then maybe a couple of hours later, maybe just an hour later, you have a craving for something sweet. And the food is focusing, your body is digesting that lunch that you had, and that lunch is moving from the first into the second phase. And then suddenly you introduce something new into your mouth. You just, maybe have a handful of some goji berries or something like that. And this confuses the body and has to reavert its attention and energy now towards something in the first phase of digestion. And so this can create, just kind of a complication. It can create, depending on what you eat or whatever, it creates adverse results. And this is what will eventually lead to ama or the doshas building up in the digestive tract. So what we're saying here is you want to focus on just having 3 basic meals per day or whatever is best for your body type. And so you want to really get to know that of what supports your body to run optimally. And when we look at the guidelines from Ayurveda, we know that vata types, people who are a little bit lighter, thinner, more creative types, people that are more spontaneous and kind of erratic, it's very, very important for them to eat their meals at the same time every day. And they usually do better around 3 or 4 meals per day. It's really important not to skip a meal, and it's really important to be seated and present and grounded while you eat. Pitta types, those with the more fiery nature, and those with usually a strong, fiery digestive system, do best on 3 meals a day. 3 full meals and eating free from mental distraction, but being present with the food. And then kapha body types, those that are a little bit more heavier, the earth and water qualities, people that are more grounded, stable, smooth, they can do better off of 2 or 3 meals a day. And so that's something to investigate of just like what helps your body thrive and what's good for your digestion. When we look at the allowing space between the meals, we're going back to this concept of how we pulse with nature, how we pulse from fullness to emptiness. We pulse from the full moon to the dark moon, the high tide to the low tide, summer to winter, night, the darkness of night to the brightness of the day. And the same thing needs to be done with our meals to support our body in this rhythmic nature. So you're supporting yourself to cultivate a true hunger, this true deep, this emptiness, this sense of, everything's been digested in my system and now I'm truly, fully hungry to take in something big and feel full and feel satiated and create that feeling of satisfaction. And so what you're doing with that, it's like there's so many benefits with it. When you're allowing yourself to really get empty and cultivate that true hunger, you're supporting your body to become more aware of what it needs and what it wants. When you're truly hungry, you're not going to want, a cookie. You're not going to want, some chips or something like that. you want something nutritious. You know, you want real nutrients. You want some fat and some protein and some vegetables and whatever. You know, you're supporting yourself to make those decisions from a deeper place of knowing with that deep hunger. You're also, you're supporting the sense of this deeper level of satisfaction when you eat in that manner of that pulsation from this emptiness to this deep desire to having a full satisfying meal. And then you're feeling a sense of fullness on a deeper level. And this prevents cravings in the future as well. So this prevents cravings and it prevents this sense of like not getting enough. And it can also shift your feelings of how you really experience your day. The third part is that you are preventing doshas from building up in the digestive tract. So what happens when you snack or eat randomly, eat at random times, or eat more than you need to, or eat too many small meals, or have too many snacks, or just little kind of things like thrown in the mouth, whatever, and eaten unconsciously, is the doshas start to build up in the digestive tract. And when they build up in the digestive tract, you start to notice them as digestive symptoms here and there. And then if that continues to build up, the doshas will move from that main channel of the GI tract into the blood and the lymph. And then slowly they move into the other tissues of the body and also can be held in the emotions, the mental state, the other patternings in the body. So what that looks like really is the same things that we've talked about in weeks prior, is that so when vata starts to build up, vata is that essence of air and space, and so that's what you experience in your digestion. You experience too much air and space. You experience bloating, gas, maybe gurgling, distension, anything like that. With pitta, it's that that fiery quality that builds up. So it's the acidity. It's diarrhea, loose stools, malabsorption, the poop might just fall apart, or it might be a little bit more like rusty brown. Things might be undigested in the poop. Or if the pitta is moving upward, it would be heartburn or acidity. It's that burning quality of pitta that it can even move into the throat and cause like laryngitis or a burning esophagus, those types of things. And then with kapha, it's the buildup or the excess of this earth and water quality, which usually is mucus. So it can be coughing up mucus from the stomach, phlegm, snot, any of that kind of stuff. It can just be heaviness, feeling like you're stuffed or too full. You might get full really easily, or you might just get those feelings after you eat of like, oh, like I'm heavy and I'm tired and feeling like this like heaviness and density in the body. Even just feeling slow to digest or having a low appetite is what the high kapha looks like in the body. And then it moves usually into the lungs and the sinuses with mucus in the lungs, cough, like a productive cough or sinus congestion, things like that. So as that happens, as it builds up, it's like it when it moves deeper into the tissues, it's vata turns into this kind of feelings of anxiety, fear, overwhelm. It can also just create more dryness in the tissues of the body and just general achiness or stiffness. It also can lead to constipation or dryness in the colon when you have too much vata. Too much pitta moves into the blood. It's this acidity, this fiery nature, and it really creates things like rashes, high heat, sensitivity to heat or sun, a lot of PMS symptoms or problems with the hormone system. The emotions will be things more like irritability, feeling more judgmental or reactive, things like that. And then with kapha, it's these feelings of attachment or lethargy, being kind of like greedy or needy, inability to let go, sadness and depression are usually with the kapha building up. So when the doshas build up in the digestive tract, then they move into the blood, the tissues, things like that, and then they just move into the weaker parts of the body, and that's where we start to experience the disease process. Is they show up wherever, whatever the weaker tissues are in your system, based off of inheritance or past issues that you've had or whatever. So as ama starts to build up, you just want to look for that. Look for signs of ama or excess doshas in the body. Start to notice, like, do I wake up feeling heavy or tired? Did I wake up, like, do I feel that I didn't digest my dinner from last night? Is there a white coating on the tongue? It's a really clear sign that there's things aren't being digested well. Do you feel soreness or stiffness in the body, achy joints? Do you have a poor mood? Do you feel like groggy or tired or whatever? Those are really clear signs to look for, just to start to kind of notice what's happening in your system and if you need to change your eating habits and support a stronger, more balanced Agni. So if that's true for you, if any of these things are like, oh God, what do I do? The best thing to do is to take a proactive approach. Number one is just to eat light for a few days. And so focus on things that are really easy to digest. So soups, vegetable soup, broths, you know, maybe lentil soup, things like that, and then a more liquid nature, really easy to digest. Smoothies are really easy to digest. You can also do take some herbs to build up the Agni if that's important to you. So people with Vata or Kapha might want to try doing the ginger, fresh ginger with a little bit of lemon and salt about 15 minutes before you eat. Pitta types can do the cumin, coriander, and fennel and just grind equal parts and make a tea and then put that into a little bit of warm water and drink that. And that's tridoshic, so that one's good for everybody. And then you want to make sure that you're spacing your meals. You're having three meals at a specific time each day, and you're building that rhythm, that rhythmic quality, because that trains the Agni to show up. You're actually going to, we have the power to work with the biochemistry of our body, and we can support the body to have a stronger, balanced, efficient digestive system. And the best way that we do that is have our meals at a consistent time each day, and then doing the meal schedule that's best for you, probably two meals, three meals, or maybe four meals, but essentially just three meals a day, and then having that earlier, lighter dinner. Then you practice that pulsation. Move towards emptiness and cultivate that deep hunger and let that Agni burn. And when the Agni shows up, when you've cultivated that deep hunger, nourish that. Eat a rich, satisfying meal. So we do that in Ayurveda. We have a nutritious breakfast, nutrient dense. So like the green smoothie or the healthy grains, or you know, you might even do like some vegetables. Whatever is good for you. It's small but nutritious. And then we have our main meal at lunch when the digestive power is the strongest. That's when the fire is the strongest in your body, the sun is the strongest in the sky, and you're honoring that cycle that we're a part of. And so you eat that satisfying lunch, that something that's really well balanced and includes enough an all six tastes to your to whatever you need for yourself. So having those all six tastes will help you also feel more satisfied, and then it creates balance in the tissues of the body and your mind and emotions. And then you pulse it again towards hunger, towards emptiness. So you fast just on water, fresh water, not having sweetened fruit drinks or, you know, not having snacks and things like that in between, or just grazing before dinner. If you get hungry before dinner, then that's something that you can work with. Maybe just a piece of fruit or a little bit of light veggies or something is something that you can have at a certain time each day to tide you over for dinner. It also might mean that you want to adjust your lunch to be more satisfying, to also satisfy your hunger and satisfy that Agni. So those are kind of just the basics of why it's important to really honor the digestive practice or the digestive process and have the practice of the healthier eating guidelines. So let's go a little bit more into it in detail. And if you have your Master Habits 10 Habits ebook with you, you can look at that as I read along. And I'm going to go ahead and take a deeper look at the main habits or tips that we have, this kind of simple checklist. So number one is to be hungry. And I think that one's kind of obvious, but I've worked with a lot of people in private one-on-one counseling who eat when they're not hungry. There can be different number of reasons that we've been trained to do that, such as, it's time to eat, or everyone's eating, or this or that, or eat for emotional reasons, I'm sad, I'm gonna eat this piece of cake or whatever, I'll have some cheesecake and it'll go away, or whatever it is. Excuse me, I have some water. So it's important to cultivate that hunger and to support that strong, balanced Agni to build up. So as I was saying earlier, if that's not there for you, you can use ginger or the cumin, coriander, fennel tea to cultivate that stronger Agni. And then the more consistent you get with your meal times, the more that your Agni will naturally show up and you'll be hungry when you want to eat, when it's quote unquote time for you to eat. Fasting and water between meals is also really, really helpful to make this one happen. Tip number two is to be ready to receive, not emotionally distracted. And we oftentimes, we carry so much throughout the day. We go through so many different experiences throughout the day. And so we can kind of build up on these emotional qualities that we might be holding on to. And so the real Ayurvedic practice is to cleanse yourself before you even prepare your food so that you're bringing in a higher vibrational state, a state of even just neutrality or love or joy or self-nurturance as you prepare your food, because you're bringing that emotive quality, that vibrational frequency, into the food that you touch as you prepare it, and then also when you eat it. So that might mean if you get home from work, or if you're taking a break at your, from work, you might go and splash some water on your face, or you might just take a few deep breaths. You might wash your hands. In traditional Ayurvedic cultures, they come home from their day of work and they usually bathe or wash their feet and change their clothes. That might be a pretty big step, but for us, a simple Kaizen approach would be to take a few breaths. If you sit down in front of your food and you've cooked and you've got everything ready and you've made it there, you're hungry, you sit down and place your food in front of you and just take a breath or take a few breaths and perhaps even say thank you. Just admire the food and really move yourself into a place of receptivity. Of having that idea of gratitude and that feeling of giving thanks for what will about to become your body. The next tip is to don't confuse thirst and hunger. And so this part is just a really good tip of just staying hydrated. And perhaps if you're having cravings or you often get hungry in the afternoon, check yourself to make sure that you've had water. You can remind yourself to drink water on a regular basis if that's not a normal habit for you. I like to use a big mason jar and just have it full of water. So if I give up, if I'm at my desk for the day, it's full of water and I'm sipping on it. And then when I get up to maybe go to the bathroom or something like that, I fill my mason jar back up. So I'm just kind of constantly sipping on just regular filtered fresh water. You could even add lemon if you want, or you could make it hot in the wintertime and have a thermos. That would help. The hot water and even hot lemon water really helps to hydrate the lymph system and the cells of the body on like a deeper level. And so that can be really important for you as well, to make sure that you're deeply hydrated. Next tip is to eat really good nutrients for breakfast, either a simple cereal or a green smoothie, and start out on track. And this is also a powerful tip, because if you eat something a little bit too, if you're getting hungry throughout the rest of the day, if you don't feel satisfied, it can be based upon the metabolism that you're setting yourself up in the morning. So you want to make sure that you are setting yourself up to be in a balanced state. If you eat such simple sugars, it can lead to more sugar cravings or sugar blood spikes and blood drops for the rest of the day, which is going to lead towards more sweet cravings or the need for snacks or the need for constantly taking something in to try to keep that blood sugar level stabilized. So instead, you want to have something that's a little bit more nutrient dense and more satisfying. So this will create better cravings throughout the rest of the day. And you can just think of it as like the days that you might go and have like a croissant and a latte, your cravings are probably going to be different for the rest of the day versus if you had a green smoothie or a green juice even and a cup of tea, and how that affects your hunger for the rest of the day. Next tip is to eat during daylight hours. And so this one does go back to the earlier dinner habit of week one. But the idea is then still that we're eating when our digestion is the strongest. And so we're supporting a strong, healthy digestive system, a strong, healthy Agni, to really break down our food efficiently without creating a lot of waste and energy, and move it through the body and prevent that buildup of Ama. Because if you're eating too late at night, you're going to build up, the body's not able to digest it, and you're going to wake up with Ama in your system, and that feels as energetic, bright, fresh, clear the next day. If you eat in the evening, that's just, you make it light and simple, or light, easy dinner. Next tip is have a lovely, satisfying lunch. And this is where your lunch becomes the main meal of the day. It's something that really will satisfy that the Agni, that fire in your stomach, when it's the strongest at the middle of the day and it's most able to break things down. And having a really satisfying lunch will prevent stronger hunger later in the day as well. So if you feel like your dinner isn't getting you through, if you're hungry at night, then actually making the lunch bigger, making the lunch include some healthy fats, some protein, some good vegetables, will support that the Agni to be satisfied throughout the rest of the day. Next tip is to notice the prana, life force, energy in your food. And that's such an awesome practice as well. Just like tuning in and like looking at what's before you. Like, wow. You could admire that, maybe the different aspect of the plant that you're about to eat. Noticing if you're having, you know, the root vegetable or the stalk of the plant, the leaf, the seed, the flower, the grain, whatever it is, and how that might have an effect on your body and your system. Just simply admiring this gift from the earth, you know, maybe where it came from. And this goes into the next tip of just experiencing gratitude. Love your food and those who prepared it before it becomes your body. So it's like, wow, like, thank you, Earth, for gifting me this glorious salad or these zucchini noodles or this kitchery. Thank you to those that harvested it and that nurtured these plants to grow and harvested and brought it here to me and for able for me to feel healthy and whole and strong. Thank you to those who cooked it or prepared that, whatever it is. But just shifting into that place of gratefulness, not only will help you be present with the food that's to be consumed to become your body, but also allows you to be in that state of receptivity to receive on a deeper, healthier level. The next tip would be to chew your food. And the slogan here is to drink your solids and chew your liquids. And the idea here is just that you're not just inhaling things. You're chewing your food, or your process of mixing your food with your saliva is the first step of digestion. It's an important part of the first phase to really break it down, to mix it with the saliva, and to really begin the digestive process. And the second part of it is, this next tip, is noticing the taste, the flavors, and how they change and they mix with your physiology. So when you're giving yourself time to actually taste your food, this is, your tongue is a highly intelligent organ of the body. And I think we'd all agree with that. Like the ability to taste what we're consuming is a pretty powerful and amazing thing. So this ability to taste our food is really informing your entire body how what you're eating is going to be affected or impacted off of what you're consuming. And it's such an important practice. And we say that this is important even when you're taking herbs in Ayurveda, because you're supporting the intelligence of your body to know how to work with the intelligence of the food that you're consuming. And you'll start to notice that. Is my food intelligent? Is this dead or dumb? Or is this something highly rich in prana? Is this highly rich in the life force energy that's going to support the life energy of my system, of my being? So you start to notice that, like, wow, you know, this is really bitter. This is spicy. This is, you know, oh, there's like this smokiness in my miso or whatever it is. And it allows the body to really further understand how to work with what it is. And then you also might notice that you need to adjust the taste on your plate. So if you take a bite and you're like, this could use, I need a little bit of sour on my plate. So you might need a squeeze of lemon or a scoop of something fermented. It's not like some sauerkraut or a pickled item or something like that, some Greek yogurt or something like that, to really round out the flavors. Each of the different tastes, of the six tastes, have an inherent action upon the body, on the tissues, and the mind and emotions. So you want to eat those six tastes in accordance for what your body needs and whatever kind of balance is best for you. And so, especially at lunch, you want to make sure you incorporate all six tastes into the meal, and that creates a deeper level of satisfaction and more inherent balance within the body, the mind, and the tissues. So noticing, you know, like, oh, I could use a sprinkle of salt. I could use a little bit of something pungent. I need some cracked black pepper, or I need to, you know, add a little bit of chili peppers or flakes on this. I need more garlic, anything like that to kind of increase the pungency to support the agni to break it down. Bitter or astringent to cleanse the tissues, cleanse the palate, create a more feeling of lightness, reduce the watery tension or mucus from the system, whatever it is that you need. So get to notice that, and get to notice how the different tastes affect the physiology of your body and your mind when you're done eating. The next tip is that if you tend to overeat, focus on getting full with more senses than just your tongue, or eat a big green salad using orange juice for dressing. So the first step would be, if you tend to overeat, you start to eat more kind of like raw leafy greens and vegetables that will satisfy, create that sense of contentment of the fullness, without being too heavy, and it's not super calorie dense. So it's kind of you're shifting your body and the physiology to feel satisfied off of something lighter. And then slowing down and eating slow. So chewing, noticing the tastes, not being distracted, being aware and present with that prana life force energy of your food. Making sure that you're free from a heavy emotional state. All of these things that help you to be present with the process of eating, of nurturing yourself, can help you really tune in more to when that feeling of fullness arrives and help you stop eating. when you do get full. The next tip is to fast on water between meals. So that goes back to this, you know, preventing that buildup of doshas and ama in the digestive tract. So you're supporting those main phases of digestion to happen, and you're not overloading the system with food when it's trying to digest your main meal. So you're just having water in between the meals, staying hydrated. It creates a really natural cleansing process for the body, and will flush that, support that ama to move out of the system. The next tip is eat as frequently as your body needs. So getting to know that vata types eat around 3 to 5 times a day, pitta is about 3 times a day, and kapha is about 2 times a day. Relax after eating. Don't just rush straight back to work, but rest for a little bit, especially after lunch. Give yourself, you know, 10, 15 minutes to digest, and then perhaps go for a walk if you can. Stay upright. This is especially good after dinner to eat, digest a little bit, and then go for a stroll or go out into the yard and do some yard work or walk around the house and do some light house chores or something like that. That upright position also supports the digestive tract for things to move freely through the system and support it in efficiency with that. And the last tip is to eat your ecosystem to learn what's digestible, what's ready to nurture you in the plant species around your house, in your yard, or just in your neighborhood or in the nearby park or forest. And this goes more into a plant-based diet, but I think that this practice is a way to learn how to feel nurtured and supported by the earth, by this inherent abundant quality that the earth carries, and this feeling, this essence that the earth is here to support us, to feed us, and to allow us to thrive. And so the food around us is able to nurture us and really support our ultimate health and wellness. So that might just be getting to know what's consumable around you. Things like the wild weeds, which are essentially very nutrient-dense food or herbs. So things like dandelion, just noticing if there's dandelion in your yard or your driveway or your garden, and adding that to your green smoothie or your salad, or making a pesto or sauteing it with your eggs or whatever it is. Chickweed, purslane, just getting to know what happens in your ecosystem and getting to see what you can harvest and bring into your diet as a healthier eating practice. So those are the basics of the healthier eating guidelines and tips. And the kind of idea here then is just to choose one practice to focus on for the next couple of weeks. So find out where your growing edge is. If something sticks out to you and you're like, oh man, I wish I was more present with my food when I ate and I wasn't on my phone or whatever it is, find where your growing edge is and start with that. And start with the Kaizen approach if you need to, or if you want to do something a little bit more cold turkey, go for like a bigger leap, then let that be so if that helps you achieve your goals for the course. Share what your approach is going to be on the forum so we can know how to support you or just be tuned in with what you're working on and what's happening, what's present for you. And allow those practices to really move you into a deeper level of health and well-being. Allow these practices to really wake up your physiology and your inherent wisdom within your body and your mind. And so as you're doing this, as you're learning how to feed and nourish yourself in a better way, let that support your deeper alignment to your consciousness, to your inherent sense of knowing, your intuition, and your deeper level of your higher self within your body mind. This will support you on your wellness journey into these greater levels of healing, of health, of ultimate wellness, of experiencing your conscious on a deeper, more ingrained level. And it's just a constant, continual process as you evolve, as you get healthier. There's no end sight in mind. So eating healthier in these guidelines is this is a supportive practice to really help you feel this deeper level of energy, and this more intimate connection with yourself. And when you start to do that, when you start to feel this deeper level of energy, this deeper level of ease, this level of spaciousness, this level of higher intelligence within your own body-mind system, you are able to bring that into the world around you and into the relationships around you, with those that you connect with. You create more deep, intimate connection with the people around you that are also working through this in their own life. And so honor that. Honor that that intuition and that level of intelligence that you have in your consciousness, informing your mind, informing your emotions, and really informing your decisions that you make around your food and how you're going to eat, how you're going to nourish yourself. And let that happen, let that grow. Cultivate that growth within yourself and cultivate the way in which you do nourish yourself to be a supportive healing practice for the ultimate good of your ultimate wellness and experiencing more of your soul, more of that consciousness flowing through you and a deeper level of bliss. So thanks. I hope that's helpful. And I'm excited to take this conversation deeper in our live talk and in the forum.